I'd like to open the lesson this morning by turning with you to, Psalm 71, or to read the 71st Psalm, verses 1 through 8. Psalm 71, 1 through 8. David says, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day." David, and as you've noticed in your daily readings, David writes many psalms about praising God and thanking God for all that he's done for him. And they certainly, these things are good for us as we are studying God's word each day. But I noticed the last verse of this song we just sang is, "shall well support our age." And I'm thinking, hey, just a minute now. We've got, "how shall the young secure their hearts?" But what about, "how shall the old secure their hearts?" I dare say that we have more old here than we do young. And that brings me around to a thought that older members have a great deal to offer. In Psalm 91 and 14, "they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing." Now, as we read this thought, we have to consider that we have, a lot of us anyway, have reached the time of old age. Now, old age is something that you don't like to think about. You know, when I was in my 60s, I didn't think I was old. I just figured I was an advanced young person. But then as I got a little bit past the 60s and started thinking about the 70s, I'm thinking, now just a minute now. My dad passed away when he was 73. And here I am, 75. Maybe I'm in the old age category. Now, we know that old age is a matter of mind and a matter of thought, because old age is going to be something that you think you're in, whether you are or not, or you don't think you're in, because it's just a matter of what you think about yourself. Now, most of us old folks, when we look in the mirror, we don't really see the old person. We see a person with vitality and a person who has thoughts and dreams, and we don't like to dwell on this. But the fact of the matter is that advancing years, I'll put it that way, advancing years is a time of physical weakness and infirmities. If you'll turn with me to Psalm, the 90th Psalm, down here out of the way, and see if I can get rid of this. Well, maybe not. There we go. Hope that'll stay. Okay, the 90th Psalm and verse 10. David says, the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they are 80. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For soon it is cut off and we fly away. You know, we think about that and think, well, you know, I don't feel too bad. I mean, after all, good health is relative. You know, the doctor always says, well, you're in pretty good health for your age. But the fact is, our bodies run down. You know, I can't do the things I used to do. I can't do them. But Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning with the third verse, Ecclesiastes 12 and 3. The wise man says, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also, they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about in the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. As we look through all these descriptions in here, we realize what he's talking about doesn't have anything to do with grasshoppers or fountains. What he's talking about is the way our body gradually fails and things don't work like they used to. And then the body returns to dust and the spirit returns to God. We all understand this. But notice, there is an admonition in this same chapter to remember God early. Remember him early. In Ecclesiastes 12, first two verses, read with me if you will. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Why is that so important? Because as the years go by, and you're not thinking about the Creator like you should, pretty soon you think, I don't have any time for him. My life's so busy. I've got this to do and that to do, and I got a job. And we say, I just don't have any pleasure in serving God. And we've seen it happen with too many young people. But, you know, you're thinking, well, you know, he's kind of a Debbie Downer here. All he's given us is the bad side of this. But age need not be an overwhelming discouragement. There is much that you can do as an aged person. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, God says, "For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." You can do many things that bring glory and honor to God. Many things. And oftentimes, things that young people can't do. That's something we're going to talk about. But old age is often a time of solitude. It's a time when you find yourself a stranger in the world. I mean, you look around you and things change. As you drive down the street, the lemon grove that you used to look at and admire the beautiful fruit on the trees is a subdivision. Your contemporaries have preceded you in death. Sometimes a spouse even. Loneliness and isolation can set in as the world moves on. But I want you to remember this one thing. The Lord will not fail you. In Hebrews 13 and down at verse 5, Hebrews 13, 5, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said," now listen to it, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." You got to believe that if you believe God's word. "I will never leave you or forsake you." You know, younger brethren should be sensitive to the trials of the aged. They should be cognizant of them and offer their help and support in every way possible. Every way possible. But old age is also a solemn time. It's a time when the end of life is approaching. You know, it's hard to convince a young person that they're going to die. Even if they have some horrible disease, they don't want to accept it. I mean, how could I die? I'm young, and young people don't die. Well, they do. Yeah, they do. But if we become an old folk, you realize that the end of life is approaching. Now, you don't know when, and you don't know how, but you understand that you better not take out a 30-year mortgage because you won't be able to pay it off. I don't know why, but that just suddenly hit me a few years ago whenever I thought, well, I could do this and take, oh no, I couldn't do that. I don't even know if I ought to buy a car on time. I don't know how much time I got left. You know, these are things that pass through your mind. Now, I hope that I'm blessed with many more years. And I look at my grandfather as 96 years old when he died. And my grandmother was 93. And I think, well, maybe I could make that age. But is that what's really important? Is that what's really important? I believe that it's important for the aged to understand that they are on the threshold of death and standing at the border of eternity. I believe that. The story is often told about the old grandma who was sitting in her recliner and reading her Bible. And the little child said, "Mama, what's grandma always reading from the Bible for?" And she said, "She's studying for her final." Think about that. Studying for her final. But as an aged person, you must understand that your beauty is in your age. If you live a righteous life, and if you use the wisdom of your age to honor God. You know, we just, in today's reading, I believe it was today or yesterday's, we read about wisdom. And wisdom is pictured as a person. And wisdom is something that we all should strive for. And what's interesting about wisdom, and if you didn't pick this up in your reading, go back and get it. Wisdom was before the earth came into existence, before the foundation of the earth. Wisdom was already present, and it continues to be present today. But wisdom, in Proverbs 16 and verse 31, "The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness." I have a lesson that I preached a long time ago called Growing Old Gracefully. Don't know how many of you remember it, but one of my points is that some people grow old gracefully, and their gray head is a crown of glory because they walk in the way of righteousness. Other people just get old. Just get old. And that's the difference. In Proverbs 20 and verse 29, "The glory of young men is in their strength." Now, when I need something lifted, or I need something carried across from one place to another, I don't do it myself. I call on Dylan. Why? Because the glory of young men is in their strength. But listen to this. "And the splendor of old men is in their gray head." Your beauty is in your age when you think about it. But how shall the old secure their hearts? In Psalm 71 and verse 9, remember we read there, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength failed." The psalmist would do what he could, and he would rely on the Lord, and he would allow the Lord to be his protector and his guide. But notice here, he would also, I'm seeing that I don't have that. Okay. He would also pray for the Lord's help. In Psalm 71, he would pray for the Lord's help. He would trust the Lord in Psalm 71 and also Psalm 9. Look at Psalm 9:9-10. "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. There are, unfortunately, the unscrupulous who will take advantage of the aged. My phone rings every day, and it's not anybody I want to talk to. And rather than talk to him, I generally hang up. Vicky gives him a nice greeting and says, thank you, goodbye. I don't know. Maybe that helps. I don't know. But anyway. But in Psalm 71 and 4, David prays to God, oh, my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man, deliver me. Oh, Psalm 71, verses 10 and 11, for my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. And Psalm 71, 12, O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. God does not forsake his people in their old age. In Psalm 37 and verse 25, I have been young. I love this passage. I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. That is a surety that we can depend upon. God will, in fact, perform his word. In Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4, Isaiah says, listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age. God says, I am he. Even to gray hairs I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. That should give you real comfort. Real comfort in your old age. Now, allowing the Lord to be your protector, your guide, and help. God holds out hope continually. In Psalm 71, verse 5, for you are my hope, O Lord. You are my trust from my youth. What does the psalmist say? You are my hope. That's what he addresses to God. You are my trust from my youth. Then 71 and verse 14. I will hope continually and I will praise you yet more and more. And then down to verse 19. Also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You have done great things. O God, who is like you? In Psalm 38, beginning with verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. You know, desire with expectation is the anchor of the soul. You know, whoa, that's not what the Bible says. In Hebrews 6:19, it says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence beyond the veil. Desire plus expectation is hope. You don't hope for something that you don't expect to ever get. You must have the desire coupled with the expectation in order to say, I have hope. And indeed, we have hope. We have hope. He, David, as he says, he would wait on the Lord. Look at verses 19 and 20 of Psalm 71. And you also, your righteousness, O God, is very high. You have done great things. Who is like you? You have shown me great and severe troubles. Shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. He would wait for God to do what he had promised. But notice, he had seen God's power and God's mercy in times of trial. You know, Paul made this statement in 2 Timothy 4, beginning with verse 16. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me, now listen, and strengthened me that I might, so that the message might be preached fully through me and that the Gentiles might hear. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Just think about that. That expresses the kind of confidence that we need, the trust that we should have in God. In fact, I think we could probably say with surety that hope is a mainspring of life. Now, I don't know if y'all know what a mainspring is, because they don't make watches this way much anymore. But a mainspring is what you wound up in a watch, and then it undid itself and made the watch work. Mainspring. I know because my dad worked on watches, and I used to get the mainsprings that wore out. Got to play with them. But mainspring of life, an incentive for vigor and for energy and a motive to be strong in the faith and to have confidence and to press forward. Hope. We are not without hope. And thus we press on. We don't find ourselves sitting around moaning and groaning about how things are going. Why? Because we have hope. But also David states that he would speak of God's righteousness. In Psalm 71 again, verse 15 and 16, my mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of your righteousness and of yours only. Notice that David didn't have any righteousness of his own that he wanted to go out and proclaim. He wanted to talk about the righteousness of God. And indeed, so also should we. In Psalm 71, down at verse 24, my tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded. They are brought to shame who seek my hurt. You know, you can be an effective teacher by reason of your age. Now, by this, I mean by your experience and your knowledge and your wisdom. In Job, we read in Job 32 and verse 7, age should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. The psalmist in Psalm 90 and verse 12, and this was another launching point I used for a lesson one time. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Don't act like you got lots of time. The only time you really have is right now. Don't number our days in that way, but understand that we are approaching eternity. We are ready to walk into a new land. And we don't know when. We don't know when. Now, if we are living righteously, we understand that silver-haired head is a crown of glory. But in Ecclesiastes 6 and verse 3, the wise man writes that if a man begets 100 children and lives many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with goodness, or indeed he has no burial, I say that a stillborn child is better than he. Why? Because he has no wisdom. He doesn't live righteously. And of course, another thing about the aged is they tell the next generation of God's wondrous works. Go back to Psalm 71, verse 17. You have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me. And listen now, until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to everyone who is to come. We need to leave a spiritual legacy to our children. You know, I often think of this passage of scripture, Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. Speaking of Abraham, God says, "For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." That's what we should want said of us. That's what we should want said of us. We need to pass the legacy on to our children. And we need, of course, to have a good influence on our children as well. Where's that passage? Oh, yeah, here it is. Psalm 78. Yeah, verses 1 through 7. I will open my mouth Well, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and the strength and his wonderful works that he has done. He established testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, that the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. It's not enough just to teach our children. We have got to teach our children and our grandchildren. And that's really where influence comes in, if you really want to talk about it here. We have influence over our children and our grandchildren. And our influence is for good or it is for evil. We need to tell our grandchildren in Psalm 71 and 17, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day, listen now, I declare your wondrous works. Let's tell our grandchildren about this. We need to tell of his mighty power. Psalm 71 verse 18. Now when I'm old and gray-headed, do not forsake me till I declare your strength to this generation and your power to everyone who is to come. But you know what? There's one thing we've got to remember. We have to do what we can while we still have time. We got to do what we can. Then, of course, David says he would praise God always. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and your glory all the day. Psalm 71, verse 8. In Psalm 71, verse 14 and 15. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. Psalm 71, verses 22 and 23. Also with the lute I will praise you and your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you and my soul, which you have redeemed. And then over to the 148th Psalm and verse 12. Both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. God's powerful works of creation, redemption, and provision. You know, I don't know if you noticed in your reading, there was a lady in there named Anna. You recall that? And Anna is one who didn't depart from worshiping the Lord and praising him. Anna was, according to Luke 2, verse 36, was a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher, of great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. Now notice, she did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Now you know what this leads up to. The identification of Jesus as being a redemption. What a joy, indeed, to see Christians who do not depart from worshiping because of their age. And we understand what Hebrews 25 teaches us, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We understand that certain health issues keep us away, but we have to make every effort we can. I'm reminded of the spot back there in the back. If Laverne wasn't here, you knew there was a reason. You knew there was a reason. Why? Because her first thought was of worship and meeting with the saints. We admired her for that. Aged Christians have an important or have important places in the kingdom. In Titus 2:2-3, Paul tells Titus that older men are to be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. Older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, and not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Important roles in the kingdom. In Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh, flourishing, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. That's right. How do you bear fruit in your old age? Matthew 6:33 tells you, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. There's the answer right there. Don't be distracted by the things of this life and the things of this world. Seek first the kingdom of righteousness, and all things will be added to you. And one more passage of scripture. Abound in the work for the Lord. My favorite passage of scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's the secret. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. I can't take credit for this lesson, by the way. I got to tell you, I know what Brother Turner said. The secret to originality is to forget where you got it. But I was in a Bible study with 10 other preachers this last Tuesday. And this was the essence of what we studied together. And I tell you, I said to myself, self, this needs to be preached. We all need this, young and old alike. This needs to be preached. So I hope it's been beneficial to you. I know it was to me. And I hope that you will find some comfort in it, strength, and that you will be able to press on, keep on keeping on. And the Lord will bless each and every one of us if we'll just do that.